Hello, happy Saturday, and welcome back to Brutal, the podcast where we are brutally honest, because honestly, it's brutal out there. Also known as the podcast where we bully you until you raise your standards. I'm so excited to be back with you guys. I finally got a real microphone, and when I'm listening to myself, it sounds like I have a lisp, and now I can't tell if like the microphone's just so good that it's like every single touch of my tongue on the roof of my mouth is making a noise. But if I have a lisp, DM me and let me know. I wasn't sure if I did. So I had to take a break from producing episodes last week because I was just super busy with work, but really excited for the next couple of episodes we have coming up. We have some really amazing guests lined up for you guys over the next couple of weeks, so get excited. Today's guest, we have Harrison Foreman. He's one of the producers of The Updating Show, which if you live in New York or Boston, you may have heard of this before. It's really incredible. It's like a live blind dating show. So they literally blindfold two people, put them on stage, and then have them like go on a blind date while blindfolded in front of an audience. So it's super cool. I can't wait for you guys to hear from him. I think he has some really great insights about dating and about life in general. But before we get started, let's go through and do the brief and brutals, aka quick answers to questions we saw on Instagram this week. Question number one. Guy I have been seeing for a month and a half is definitely slow fading me. How do I call him out? You don't contact him in any way. Like girls have this obsession with calling guys out. Like you always think you're like teaching them a lesson. And I just like, I think I believed that at one time in my life, but I'm now just at the point where I'm like, the best thing you could possibly do is just choose silence. Like, number one, this gives you kind of like time to see if he is really slow fading you slash like, you know, leading into ghosting you, or if he's just like actually busy, which like some people are. So obviously, like if you don't hear from him, like just assume that he's ghosted you or slow faded you. But maybe he texts you literally tomorrow and like you're glad that you didn't like call him out and act fucking crazy. And second, like just to confirm, you guys are not teaching anyone a lesson. Like when you quote unquote, like call them out, like again, guys are not like reading your text and being like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I hurt her. Like they're not like, wow, I really learned my lesson. Like I'll never do this again. Like they literally don't care. So don't waste your energy. Question number two, my birthday is February 13th, right before Valentine's Day. Is it a red flag if my boyfriend doesn't get me separate gifts for each day? What if he only gets me one gift? Oh my God. Okay. I'm very passionate about this question. So the fact that you're worrying about this tells me that you probably think he's either like not going to get you anything or he's just going to get you one gift and be like, they're one day apart. And I think like I have dated guys who did nothing for me on Valentine's Day. And like I tried to tell myself it's like a stupid commercial holiday, like all this stuff that like guys always want you to believe because they're too cheap to get you anything or they're like too lazy to get you anything or they don't like you enough to get you anything. But straight up, like guys who don't do anything for you for Valentine's Day and they say it's because it's like not a real holiday or like anything like that, either they really do like think they're special and they think it's like a stupid commercial thing and they have some dumb principle where they think they're too good to participate like everybody else, in which case he sounds like a douche, but okay, fine. He has his principles. Either way, like if he loves you enough, he will get over himself and his precious principles and like do something for you. In the other case, like he's probably not like this principled scholar and like societal critic. And he is just an asshole who can't be bothered to spend $5 on flowers at the grocery store. And like also Valentine's Day is the easiest, most obvious holiday. Like it's honestly a layup. Like if he can't be bothered on that day, like when will he be bothered? Do you know what I mean? So if your birthday falls on or near Valentine's Day, like my sister's born on Valentine's Day, she always gets two gifts, like as she should, because it's two separate days. And like, it's not about like gifts. It's not about the monetary value. It's not about any of that. It's more about like, did they clearly think of you in advance and like put in effort to like make you feel special? So in this case, it would be a red flag if he didn't get you like two separate gifts or didn't like make it two separate occasions. Question number three, I used to date a guy on and off, but the timing wasn't right. Now living in the same city again, is it worth it to try again? No, when a guy says that the timing isn't, okay, so first of all, let me backtrack here. The fact that you're like, oh, well, should I try again? To me, that tells me that like he probably was like, oh, the timing's not right. which is just one of like many, many excuses that guys will make when they just like don't like you enough. Like they'll be like, the timing's not right. Like my career, like maybe I'm going to move. They never do. Like I'm very busy right now. Like I'm moving apartments. Like I got a bad haircut. Like they just have any excuse. You know what I mean? Like the timing's not right. The timing not being right is like a garbage excuse. It's not worth it to try again. I think if he wanted to reach out, he would. He knows you're in the same city. Like, I have no doubt you're posting Instagram stories, like tagging the location and seeing if you watch them. He knows where you are. He knows what's up. And even if he doesn't have social media, like, don't be desperate. Don't reach out. It's not worth it to try again. Go meet some new dudes. Okay, the last thing we pulled this week, and I said, do you have a one that got away? And 65% of you said no. But then I pulled and I said, are you someone's one that got away? And 85% of you said yes. So that cracked me the fuck up to no end. Like everyone's like, oh no, I don't have a one that got away, but I am someone's one who got away. It's kind of like, I think we're all a little full of ourselves, which is so funny. Like myself included, I answered the same answers, but I was cracking up so much. Like we're all delusional. Okay, that's all we have time for. Let's move on to Harrison. Don't forget to write in your dating questions for next week's episode to podcastbrutal@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @brutalpod. I love, love, love receiving emails and DMs from you guys. So exciting. We can't wait to talk about them. So send them in. And without further ado, here is Harrison. Welcome back. This is Brutal episode 5. And please welcome Harrison Foreman from the Updating Show to the pod. Harrison.
Liz, pleasure to be here on the Brutal podcast. It's brutally cold out.
That it is.
But I'm brutally excited for this, for this recording. No, thanks for having me.
For sure. You get bonus points for the use of the word brutal so many times. So you went to college with one of my good friends from growing up. Shout out to Ben and to MILF Dad, his awesome streetwear brand. And you, along with Brandon Berman, right? Brandon Berman, yep, started the Updating Show. So I would love if you could summarize Updating. Yes. If you could summarize Updating for the listeners who haven't heard of it in like a few, I guess, give me like your elevator pitch.
I love it. So Updating is a live dating show started in New York City where we put two strangers on blindfolded first dates in front of live audiences. It's basically a reality TV show on stage, unedited, unfolding in real time. It's laugh out loud funny. It kind of takes the best of Jerry Springer meets The Dating Game meets, a relatable like rom-com. that's like two elevator rides, but at the high level, yeah, it's a dating show, but it's one of the few dating shows where there's really like no pressure on us as matchmakers, you know, creators of the show to find like these perfect pairings. It's about not taking yourself seriously. I think that's like the mission statement for the show.
I really like that. I think like one thing I'm excited about is I feel like we're seeing this trend, things going more in the direction of like mixers, like live shows, like events. Yeah. I think people get really exhausted with the dating apps sometimes. So it's nice to see people like mixing it up, kind of like throwing some comic relief in there. So I'm definitely excited to have you on and to hear more about the show.
Oh, totally. And look, I've had a lot of audience members come up to me after the show. I deleted Bumble for this. I deleted Hinge.
Oh my God, really?
Which is really crazy. And we joke that more audience members meet and date and hook up than the people we set up on stage.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I have a question later about your success rate. Yeah,
no, we can get into all of that. No, definitely.
Well, I don't know how much Ben like told you about the podcast, but I guess to give you a little background on Brutal. So I guess you could say I'm a pretty direct person. I'm kind of like the friend that people go to when they need to have their feelings hurt, but like they know it's for the best. So
dating advice, like you're the one who tells your friend, like break up with him. Like, come on.
Yes. And you know what? I will say like people are very like, every piece of advice is just like dump him. And it's like, yeah, like 99% of people you date are not going to be your husband. So like probably dump. It's like statistically probably dump him.
Very good point. I think about that a lot. Yeah. I think there are many fish in the sea, right? Exactly. Especially if you're in New York there. And that's helped me become less stressed about my own dating life.
Yeah. I think like, especially when I don't know. I went to all girls school. I'm like for the girls in life in general. And I think like, especially when I see women like suffering in dating, like needlessly, I don't know. I just feel like women are out here like doing way too much work in general. Like a lot of people are out here doing too much work with dating. Like if a guy really wants to be with you, like seriously wants to be with you and not just like stick you around or like hook up or whatever, like you won't, you just like won't be so confused or like driving by his house or like stalking his Venmo transaction. You know what I mean? Like there won't be like all of this confusion, I guess, is kind of my feeling. And I think sometimes you just need someone to like shake you and like tell you that. But it can be hard to do that to yourself. So that's what we're here for.
No, I love it. I think that's real advice. Like I said earlier, a lot of people take this dating stuff way too seriously and intensely. And a lot of people put so much pressure into these texts and everything. And I think a lot of people gravitate towards our show because we don't take ourselves too seriously. We cast people who don't take themselves too seriously. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but I do think there are these echo chambers, specifically for women who are going through these, who are single. And like, I feel like guys are still very behind the eight ball and behind the curve on what's modern dating, you know, what's modern romance. And it's because there really are no, like, guys are still watching football. You know, they're getting their they're getting their dating advice from football. And yes, women, there are like tons of these awesome new podcasts where you get so like so nitty gritty on dating. It's almost like mind blowing. It's like a major at a college now, like dating.
I do feel like I see women just like agonizing over this stuff more. I think guys in general are a little bit more like you said, like they may just not be like thinking about it that much, which is totally fine. For me, it's even more just to say to a friend, like, it's not that complicated. Like he's not like sitting in his house, like counting the minutes to text you back. Like he's probably doing something else. So like, no, he's not playing hard to get. He just like didn't text you and it's fine.
Yeah, like, it's okay. Exactly. It's fine. Sure. Yeah. I could not agree more.
All right, let's get into some dating stuff.
Yeah, ask me anything, for real.
Okay, so for the listeners, what is your age and what is your relationship status?
So I am 30, recently 30, former 20-something, as they call it. relationship status, single. I am single.
Okay, and what is Brandon's relationship status, your co-host?
He is in a relationship. He's in a relationship. He's in a, serious girlfriend. She's very cool. Definitely happy for him.
Did they meet on the show?
They met through his neighbor.
That's cute.
Yeah, his neighbor set him up and then they just hit it off. Yeah.
So how is it like being single and running this live dating show?
It's definitely interesting. You know, my mom is like, you better find someone. You have to find someone through this. Well, I keep it professional, you know, as possible. Right. And I've also only been single for a few couple months. I was with someone for a year on and off, so to speak. I'm taking time off right now, actually, from dating. I'm kind of recentering myself. But when I was dating, like a month ago, I went on a couple dates and some girls are like, is this for the show or is this for your own dating life? I'm like, look, I keep the two separate, church and state.
And if you don't mind if I ask, why were you on and off? Like, what do you think made it like, not just you want to commit, you want to be together, like whatever?
Yeah, I would say on and off because we broke up and I didn't quite have closure. I broke up with her. I didn't quite have closure, gave it a couple months. And then I really missed her. I genuinely like really missed her. And there were some things that I was hoping would get worked on. And you know, really like in my gut, like really hoping these things would get worked on. I'm not perfect either, for sure, but I was really hoping these things would get worked on. So gave it another go. And at first round two was good, but towards the end, just a lot of similar issues. And I think at the end of the day, I just don't, you know, I wish her the best. She's a great person and we had crazy chemistry. But at the end of the day, the back and forth it's not really healthy. And if there is that long-term chance that, you know, we ever reconnect, it's better to break it off. But I'm also really bad at breakups. You know, it takes me like 6 months to break up with someone.
Why so long?
I do. And I think this is healthy, but I, you know, there's always that fear that you won't get this again. And I think that's a normal thing. And that's why I think I do bark up that tree a couple of times. It's a very particular kind of person that can like handle me. And so when I do find that, it's cool. And I want to like keep at it. Those are a couple of reasons why.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like the breaking up with people, it's hard because I feel
Are you good at that?
Once I know, but it takes me a minute to like, I'm single. Yeah. I'm also like on a dating hiatus, mostly because like I'm living with my parents while I look for an apartment. It's like not very sexy right. to like come back to New Jersey. Be like, got to make my train to Penn Station.
That is kind of funny. Yeah.
So it's not the vibe, but I'm like, I just feel like when it comes to breaking up, like it's tough too. Cause like you said, like sometimes you're just hoping, like you're like, everything is great except for like one or two things. And you're like, maybe it'll change.
I know.
And like, you really hope that it will, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like if it does, great. Like you said, like if time passes and it changes, great, but I don't want to like, I don't know. I used to try to change people a lot. And now I feel like I'm just like, I don't have the energy actually. Like I literally don't have time.
We've definitely had similar experiences then.
All right. So I want to ask a little bit more about the show. So, okay. What was, I guess, the original impetus for starting the show? Like, why did you guys want to do this? How did you first come up with this idea? And then like, how long did it then take you to actually make it a reality?
Yeah, definitely. There are a couple different origin stories. We're definitely going to put in the Netflix documentary at some point. So I guess long story or the medium story. So I was on the West Coast. I was in San Francisco. Just throwing stuff against the wall. I've always been a creator. I was throwing videos against the wall. Life in your 20s from a guy's perspective, funny takes on that, like the pregame, this is that. And then the only thing that I was doing then that really like was catching on with people was dating. Like I would just open up about my, you know, I'd write about it. I would live stream some first dates, just like a comedic take on like dating from the guy's perspective. And so I would live stream a few dates of mine. I would go in the bathroom and do like a halftime report, like, hey guys, my date, she ordered this drink, that drink. So it was raw. It was like relatable entertainment. And I loved it. I really did love creating that story. And so it was coming to a point where I was becoming this like reality character. I didn't really love it. Girls would want to, you know, they would text me like, hey, I don't want to be in your blog.
Facebook Live. So Harrison, I literally remember you. Like, no. I remember hearing about this.
No.
Yes. I remember people being like, have you seen this guy? Like he goes on Facebook Live from the bathroom and does like a report. Stop. Of like, yes, I'm not kidding at all. That was you.
Me.
I shit you not. That was going on. Cause I don't, Stop. You had like a decent amount of people watching those.
Yeah. I would get tens of thousands of people watching.
Oh my God. Yes. Truly okay. Crazy. That's you. That's so funny. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Truly. Wait, that's crazy. I didn't think. That's so funny. And look, that's so well, thanks for, you know, hearing about the gospel. And this was a couple years ago. The concept was great. Like people loved it. I started having other people do it in other cities. And then I kind of turned my brain. Okay. Let me try and like create a show, like a TV show, pitch these shows. So I started pitching like dating show ideas around this. I'd fly down to LA and, you know, just start like poking around, right? Like these kind of reality shows. So it was cool to kind of like be in that world and nothing was really hitting. And then long story short, a mutual friend of mine who had interned with Brandon on the Howard Stern show a few years ago, he hit me up. He's like, yo, you got to talk to my guy, Brandon Berman. He's doing stand-up in New York from Long Island. One of the funniest guys I've ever met. Like he'll make you laugh. Like you guys just have similar senses of humor. Just talk to him. So we chatted. This kid was just like, who the hell is this guy? Like he's like no filter. He's so ridiculous. You know, he's so funny. I'm like, all right, we both realized we have to work together. And it took us like a year of like random ideas we would throw around together. And then out of the blue, he hit me up one time. He had been at a diner with his ex-girlfriend and there was some first date near them and they were like fighting or something over a burger. And he started like commentating over it and it was, you know, making fun of it. Right. And so we connected and he was like, look, there's something here. Have you ever thought about turning this format that you were doing online or linear into live? And it was just a no-brainer. Long story short, I moved to New York. We originally we were calling it Date Night Live, which was so lame and ridiculous. And I'm like, what are we doing? And we were testing out other ideas. And I remember calling him. I'm like, dude, what are we doing? These other ideas aren't it. Like we're here to do Date Night Live or update. You know, we came up with updating.
How did you come up with updating? Why that name?
Updating and the name updating. Yeah, I think it's
cute.
A fun name.
It's like catchy.
So, yeah, it's really cat. I think there's a good brand. So you know, you're updating the audience, right? As the date is going. So it's always, you know, there are updates throughout the show.
I like that.
What's happening. And then are we updating dating in general, you know, the dating industry?
Up-leveling dating. I like
that. Time will tell.
And why the blind element? Because I was a huge fan of Love is Blind. Like I normally don't watch a lot of those shows. Like most reality shows that come out, like dating shows that come out, I've always watched like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, like very guilty pleasure. Right. And then I watch I'll watch a few things, but Love is Blind, I was like, I've got to watch this. There's something about the blind element that's like, I think very attractive to people, like Married at First Sight, like all those shows. So why did you guys decide to blindfold people?
I think a few reasons. A, this whole idea of these dating apps, right? They're just so superficial. You're only swiping on someone based off, literally it's just looks, right? And we both thought that was, it just had to be disrupted, right? Kind of adding this blindfold element. Everything does need like a gimmick, especially in like the non-scripted world.
Yeah.
You know, Love is Blind obviously has that gimmick. The Voice has the spinning red chair. You know, The Bachelor is the rose. Like you do kind of need like a gimmick kind of thing. So it made sense from that standpoint. And then the more we like got deep in it, and we're always tweaking the format. Part of like what I love about the show is the creative process. We're always kind of like tinkering with it. It's like Legos sometimes, you know, like people don't see like the full format, especially with our clips. Like we don't really post like the format of the show.
Right.
But it is like a, you know, you need beats. It's like a TV format, you know, and it's like, all right, two girls, one guy, you know, this is the format. And then it's two girls, two guys. And so we're always tweaking it. And I think the format, when the blindfold stayed on, it was just like the realest and most raw version of the show. And people are more themselves with the blindfolds on in a way. And I think that's always made it really interesting and fun. And then talking about like those, when you're in the audience, you're clenching, I was trying not to say the butt cheeks, but you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And then, because you're waiting for the blindfolds to come off and to see those reactions. And I'm like,
what if they're not attracted? What if they hate each other?
Yeah, exactly. We look at updating as almost like a scripted TV show sometimes. Like you still need that, like, you know, the rising action, the climax. And so we need the audience to guess it. You know, it's a better show when they guess. And we've tried having polar opposite matches where look, our matching isn't great anyway. I'm sure we'll get to that. But we've tried having like literally polar ends of the spectrum, never like two opposites attract kind of thing. It's not as good of a show. It's really not. And it can be really funny, but it's just not as good of a show because the audience knows right from the get-go what's going to happen. So you still need that like guessing element. I think it creates better entertainment.
Yeah. It's funny what you say with the dating apps. I think like, I don't even know if it's like superficiality. It's like, for me, like I've said this in the last episode, but like, I literally swiped left on a guy the other day because he had short arms. Like I'm a psycho. Like I can't, meanwhile in person, I'm sure like it would have been fine. You know what I mean? Something about the dating apps, it just puts you in this position where you're like, no, no, yes, no. Like, I don't know what it is. It makes you kind of bratty. And then also like, I've literally had two serious long-term relationships where I found out or like realized later on that we had matched before on a dating app.
No.
Yes. And in one case,
you met in real life.
Later I met them in real life and then we ended up dating. Awesome. Like, isn't that the crazy? But like, it just goes to show you, I feel like when you meet through like actual people that you know, or you're set up or whatever it may be, like there's something there. It's like you give people more of a chance, I think.
It's just a mutual like interest. Yeah, without a doubt. Right. And that's why I don't really do the apps. And, you know, even like if I at updating, right, people if you meet someone at a coffee shop, you both like coffee. If you meet someone at updating, you both like cool experiences, right? So there's that mutual interest.
For sure. So in terms of the casting and the matchmaking, like I know you have people apply online, they have to be cast first. When you cast two people and you put them together, like blindfolded for the show, what's the pre-screening like? How much work are you doing to like see if they'd be a good match? Have you ever done it where it's totally random? Like how does that process work?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, we're starting to really get a ton of applications. We can't even keep up with it sometimes from all over the country, which is really cool. So it's never we're never just like, you know, pointing at the chart and saying like we still do a full casting process, right? It's not like The Bachelor with 8 Skype interviews, but we vet the people and make sure that they're a great fit for the show, make sure that you know, they're down to play the game of the show. That's always really important. You know, if someone says, you better find me Prince Charming or else you're out, you know, like they're not right for the show. That's you know, there are dating, just matchmaking.
Just like have fun. Like,
yeah, they're just have fun. And sure, there are matchmaking shows where they'd be good. You know, they seriously want to find someone. And look, people we cast do also want to find someone, but they're more like go with the flow. So that's really important. And then as far as the matching, that's the secret sauce. No, just no, I think the matching, what I will say, it has to be a relatable first date, but there also has to be entertainment value. So that's what I'll say there. That's our publicist approved messaging about that.
Okay. Okay. That's fair enough.
I will say nothing against Sebastian, but updating, we cast a wider range of people, I think, than The Bachelor. You know, The Bachelor's finding like Aaron Rodgers' brother, right? 6'2", good, right. You know, good looking jocks, former football players. Like that's how you get on The Bachelor. We do have the consummate reality kind of stars for sure, but we find a lot of like edgy or quirky people, cult heroes, we call them, people who would never be on The Bachelor, but they're relatable. Cool. And I think because we're both the creators and like doing the casting, like we have that flexibility to do that. So
no, I feel like that's cool. Yeah, it's definitely very, obviously The Bachelor is super like heteronormative and like everybody right. is like, you know, a regulation hottie, as they say.
Yeah, the audience, it's a pretty, yeah, our audience, look, we do get The Bachelor fans for sure. You know, the girls who like dating shows, like, you know, that's just a thing. But we get guys who like comedy. We get people who like reality. We get, you know, economist writers who are interested in the anthropological ideal of this like whole concept, right? So there's like a whole thing. It's interesting. Yeah.
What is the success rate of the show? Like, what do you guys track? Like, what percentage of the couples like go on a second date? What percentage are like still dating now? Or how has that been?
It's like a.
If you don't know, like numbers is fine. I'm just curious.
No, it's a good question. I would say probably 50% of couples make it to a second date, which is pretty high.
That's very high, considering it's totally blind.
Yeah, a lot of people do make it to a second date. Make it to a third, much lower percentage. Still dating, even lower. But yeah, we do get a lot of people that make it to a second date, right? And look, here's the thing. Most first dates are not home runs, right? Like you said at the beginning of our chat, like 99% of the time, this isn't the one. So there's less pressure on a perfect match.
Right. So, I think you just have to have like a mindset of like, I'm going to meet a lot of people. I'm going to see what happens. Like, don't put any pressure on like one interaction. I feel like that's what you guys are doing well, is like, you're making it more fun. You're making it more humorous. Like, you're having shared experiences. Like, it's not this like, like, will he call me? Like, I just feel like people freak themselves out so much.
So intense.
It's very scary. It's very scary. Well, you know, like
way the clock too is intense. Ticking. I know. Ticking. I know. Do you feel pressure to meet someone?
Honestly, I'm 29. My parents got married at like 36.
That's cool.
And they had me at 40, or they had me at 37 and my sister at 41. So I'm like, I've just never really felt that
that's
pressure,
cool.
I guess.
I think that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I also am like, I think when you make decisions under pressure, whether it's like real or imagined, sometimes you make up a bad decision, and like your partner for life is like probably the biggest, I mean, it's like the most impactful decision you'll ever make. Like it will affect everything you ever do and like the lives of your children and like your entire future. So like, maybe
I know it's pretty,
maybe
intense.
Don't be like, time to lock it down. We got to make babies. You know what I mean? It's not a good idea.
I love that. It's a great take.
What is the most brutal or like worst thing that's ever happened in the show live? Like the thing that you were like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it. Like, what are we going to do?
I would, the one that it does stick out is we had a show earlier on where a girl on the show, her name is Jelly. Her mom is actually in the audience. Super cool. Like the audience loved her in the beginning. Blindfolds come off. She is so unattracted to him. The mom says, hey, give me the microphone. She said, he's disgusting.
Stop.
I don't know. I swear. This boy is disgusting. How did you set him up with my daughter? The girl on stage said he is so gross, so ugly.
Oh my God, that's so mean.
So mean, so crazy. And it's funny, at this point, we had a vote. You could vote someone on or off the show, like mid-show. And luckily the audience, you know, they sided with the guy and they voted her off the show. She got booted. And it's tough because we do tell daters, be honest, you know, be totally honest. So on one hand, like she did follow the rules, but there is like a, you know, point. There's a limit there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously all about being brutally honest, but like not, I don't know. That's mean. what is the most like brutal truth about dating that you think people are afraid to admit and like don't hold back?
Oof. Most brutal truth about dating. I mean, yeah, I think like everyone is sexual. It's not just guys, right? Like, I think that, like, you know, like we're all just pretty sexual people. That's a weird answer.
No, but that is definitely true. Like, I feel like there's a lot of
that's a brutal truth.
I don't know. You heard so many stories where people are like, he checked all my boxes. Like, he was tall, he was hot, he went to a good school, he comes from a good family, like this or that. But at the end of the day, like, if you don't want to make out, you don't want to make out.
Exactly. Other brutal truth about dating. I mean, you should be able to tell within 2 minutes if you're feeling it with someone. You know, I think, you should just, I know I could tell right away if we have the right energy together. Of course, like, don't tell everything. I used to like open up so way too much on these first dates. And it's like, yo, Harrison, chill. I was like, yo, but this is my authentic self. I'm like going to tell everything. Like, this is me. Do you want me? Yes. But at the same, that's cool. But mystery is also pretty cool.
Let us get into some listener emails. So I mentioned some of these are written directly to us. And then others are questions that like we saw across Instagram or like Reddit or literally anywhere else on the internet this week that I was like, we have to talk about this. It's so upsetting.
Wow. I love it.
Okay. This one was written directly to us. Thank you so much for writing in. Dear Brutal, I went on a date with a guy from Bumble that wasn't anything to write home about, but also perfectly pleasant. He has great manners, went to good schools, and more or less what I'm looking for on paper. During the date, I learned he has 2 kids. I've never been married, and I'm still unsure about whether or not I want kids / interested in getting involved with someone else's. Now he's asked to hang out again, and I'm torn. Do I give this perfectly nice guy a second chance, or do I cut him loose because of the kids?
Oof. So she did it. So he lied about the kids?
No, he just said on the date, he didn't say anything in his profile. It says during the date, I learned he has 2 kids.
Oh, okay. And she said she's not. That's tough. Look, my advice would be, unless he was head over heel, unless you were just mesmerized by this person, absolutely mesmerized, like, how could you turn this down? You know, Jeff Bezos kind of. He's a weird guy, so hopefully not Bezos.
No one is less hot than Bezos, sadly. Yeah,
he's disgusting. So I would say, unless you were like so enthralled with this person, I would move on. You know, you don't have to kind of do this thing. I met someone, and this is, we weren't right for each other anyway, but I met someone who, she lived in Staten Island and she had a kid. She actually did have a daughter. And look, was she sweet? Could I have kept seeing her? And I don't know, maybe dated for a little bit. Yeah, but just that, it's just not there. Again, there are plenty of fish to say. She was sweet, but I wasn't like head over heels. So at that point, you'd move on.
I agree. I think also she said, she's like, he is great, man. She said it wasn't anything to write home about, but it was also perfectly pleasant. Like, I don't want it to, like, if someone describes a first date with me as perfectly pleasant, like, I don't want them to go out with me again, like, for the pity. Like, don't do it. Like, just, it's okay.
Exactly. Like, it's like saying you're a nice guy or something, right?
Like, oh my God, my worst fear is that someone would be like, she's really nice. Like, to describe, like, anything but that.
It's terrible. That's
like an insult to me.
It's crazy. Yeah, he's really nice. Oh, that's like, the worst. Oh. It's a fake compliment.
It's fake. You know, they're like wanting to say something else.
It's a California compliment, I call it.
Wow, I love that. Oh my God, California compliment.
Because there's, I need to trademark that. I literally just thought, because they're so, and I used to live out there, so passive aggressive.
Oh my God, dude, I lived in Texas for 6 years. Like, cut them loose, I think.
Cut them loose.
Especially because he has kids. Because I think if you weren't like mesmerized, you said it was perfectly pleasant. And I get it. Like, she's like, oh, he's everything I'm looking for on paper. Great manners, went to good schools. Right. I don't know. To me, that stuff doesn't matter. Like, oh, did they go to XYZ school or not? I don't tend to be like a snob about that kind of thing. It's okay if you are a snob about that kind of thing. Like, you're entitled to want what you want. But just because someone like checks your boxes, but you don't feel a vibe, like, and they have this big question mark for you, like, sounds like it's adding up to like not go out again.
Get out of that. Yeah. There's no need. So unnecessary.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
I know, these are fun. The next one, how do I get a guy to propose without seeming desperate or straight up asking him to? I don't think you can do that. I think it's going to, if you're like, when are you proposing? Will you please propose? When are you proposing? Like, that sucks. That is desperate. That is like,
I know. This one is interesting. This one's interesting. I have a few thoughts on this one. I like this question, actually, because I do think in, again, I tell someone I love you like in 2 weeks. Like, I don't do this rule. I don't do rules or anything like that. And my whole issue with this like question is your relationship should be so deep and connected where like you've had this lying in bed, like, you know, in the morning, you're just, you know, riffing about stuff. It should just be like informal dialogue when you figure this stuff out. Like there should have been an informal convo where it's like, yeah, I think like mid 2023, right? So that's my issue with this conversation. It's like, I think the fact that there's a guessing game just makes me angry. Like my future spouse, she'll know. I'll still surprise her, but like, she'll know, like, I'm proposing, expect it. When the wind is 30.
Blowing from the east, like it will happen. Wait, just
when sunset hits 5:57 PM on the zodiac, you know, on the calendar, get ready.
Right.
I think that's like a long answer, but that's my whole thing with this.
For me, when I hear women say, how do I get a guy to propose? How do I like get him to move in with me? How do I get him to define the relationship? Like, how do I get him to be my girlfriend, to say I'm his girlfriend? Like all of that. I truly just feel like if you're playing this mind game with yourself and with the guy where you're like, how can I trick him into giving me what I want from him? Like in terms of some sort of formal commitment, like it's already bad news. Like shit's already bad. Like you shouldn't have to like bully a guy into like dating you, moving in with you, proposing to you, marrying you, having kids with you, like any of those things, because you should just have a relationship where you and the guy both want to take those next steps together. I don't know, if you have to bully someone into being with you, and that's whether you're a man or a woman, like, why do you want to be with them?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay, this woman writes, I was with a man for 3.5 months. We reciprocated feelings of wanting to spend the rest of our lives together.
Yeah.
He said I was the woman of his dreams, but that he was still mentally messed up from his ex and he didn't deserve me because he couldn't be completely invested in us. We broke up so he could work on himself. He hates this breakup as much as I do. I just want to support him through whatever he's going through and he won't let me. I don't know how to feel.
Oh my God. What? Wait, so let me could you repeat the mission? Okay.
Totally fine. I was with a man for 3.5 months. Okay. She said we reciprocated feelings of wanting to spend the rest of our lives.
3.5 months. That's it. Okay.
3.5 months. They're saying they quote unquote reciprocated.
First red flag. Okay.
Like it's been 3.5 months. Like they're still not like farting in front of you. Like how could you possibly know? Oh like, I don't God. Know. I don't
Terrible.
Know. He said I was the woman of his dreams, but that he was still mentally messed up from his ex and he didn't deserve me because he couldn't be completely invested in us. Guys say this when they don't want to be with you. Like they say this when they just like, don't want to be, it doesn't really matter why.
I know.
We broke up so he could work on himself. He hates this breakup as much as I do. I just want to support him through whatever he's going through. And he just won't let me, I don't know how to feel. He won't let you because he is like, doesn't want to interact with you because he broke up with you.
Right. And it was only 3.5 months. Chill out. More like, again, plenty of fish in the sea. Just chill. And you don't want a guy, you don't want to be with a guy always thinking about his ex. And that's an excuse, to be honest. Like, look, if he was that into you, he'd still be with you.
I agree. Just, he wouldn't be the reality. Like, this is the thing that I get a little stuck on is like, he said I was the woman of his dreams, but that he like didn't deserve me. I feel like, I don't know why guys say that stuff. Like to me, it's like, I kind of just don't listen to that shit. Like, that just seems a little wild after like 3.5 months. Like you're telling me I'm the woman of your dreams, but you're also breaking up with me. Like, doesn't sound like it. Like, it sounds like if you wanted to make it work, you would make it work.
Seriously. Honestly, these are fun.
I know they're fun. All right. Here's another one. This woman writes, dating a younger guy who doesn't have his life together yet, worth it or just wasting my time?
That's a good one. If he doesn't have his life together, that's different than not having self-awareness. So if he's mature and self-aware, but his career, because he's a couple years younger, hasn't hit that like point where, you know, it's going to be smooth sailing. I don't think you should fault that person for that. Right. It's all about self-awareness and maturity. Right. I know girls who are 23 who are more mature than 30-year-olds. Right. And vice versa, I'm sure. And so I think it should come down to maturity. I wouldn't fault him. I think as long as he has like a plan, I think that's the big thing, right? If he's living at home, not sure what he wants to do, doesn't know himself, then that's a mess. But, you know, if he's not fully at that, you know, that point when like things turn, that's okay. You know, as long as he's like on the right road.
Yeah, I definitely agree with like being on the path. No, I totally think that is.
Yeah. Okay.
I think like I've noticed that with women, they don't need to feel like their career is like all together or like their shit's all together for them to like be open to love. Whereas I feel like with a lot of guys, it's like that line in Sex and the City where they say like, you know, one, they're like cabs, like men are like cabs, you know, one day they just are driving around and their lights on and they're ready. And it's like, they kind of have to get their ducks in a row or something.
You're saying women are ready before guys, typically.
Women are like always ready for love, and men are like sometimes they got to get their ducks in a row first.
I would say that's mostly accurate, maybe. Yeah,
definitely a little like, stereotypical.
Yeah. Even me, right? You know, I'm in definitely a high octane life right now. And is it an ideal situation to be with someone? No. Like, I'm single, like, I'm focused on work. I'm super, you know, like everyone in New York, but it's 24/7, right? But if I met someone sick, join my life. Like, right. Be a co-pilot, right? I want a co-pilot. You know, we shouldn't build our life around the prospect of finding someone. You should have your life, have someone join on board. Like, you're sharing a life with someone, right? Yeah, that's
funny. I mean, what is it like for you at this point? Like, if you go on a date with a 23-year-old, like, I don't even know what I would talk about really with a 23-year-old.
Well, I know, exactly. So it's not really, I do prefer someone who's had as much life experience as me. I prefer to date someone my age. Generally, yeah, I do. I think it's about like the life experience and maturity, which generally will be closer to my age at 30, you know, 28, 29, 30. Have I met someone occasionally who's been like just so with it at a younger age? But yeah, I'm not going on date like girls getting wasted at like Hotel Chantel. That's not for me, right? That was my phase like 5-6 years ago. I don't really do that. I'm an old soul. For those listening, I'm an old, you know, shout out to old souls. Like I just listen to jazz. I have warm Edison bulb lighting. I really just like to chill. So that's the thing with some of these younger women, like they're still trying to like party. I'm like, yo, I did that. You know, I'm not
really. Yeah. I really feel you. I love to go. The thing is, like, I unfortunately like still love to go out. Like, I realized that it wasn't like alcohol so much that I liked about partying and going out as it was like the energy of being in a room with like everyone's having a fun time. Everyone's it's there cool. to like rebel, I guess.
So that's a good point. It is a really good point. It's a bit, yeah.
But I just don't have the like, you know, like I obviously don't drink. And like, also I can't stay out till 4. I can't stay out till 4. Like yeah. I am not, it's not happening for me anymore. It's like 2 a.m. is the limit.
Yeah. I definitely feel that. And at the end, it's about the people you're around.
All right. To conclude, we're going to play Rose, Thorn, and Bud, which is my favorite game that I force everyone to play constantly. So what was your rose and your thorn for 2021? And then what is your bud, aka like what are you looking forward to for 2022?
My bud? Mm-hmm. This is awesome. I love this. So my rose of 2021, it was in December. It was both my 30th birthday and a major career milestone. We signed with this agency and we got this whole press article and everything. And it was like the coolest thing. And both things happened within 3 days of each other. And it was just, I mean, it was really a joy.
That's amazing.
Truly a joy. Yeah. Just pinch yourself kind of stuff. And I think like you too, like people who want to do a lot in their career, you know, it's easy to just say on to the next. This is great. On to the next. But I did try and take a few moments to like reflect, and then turning 30, like I was ready for it. Honestly, a lot of people ask me like, you're scared. You're so like ready for it. You know, I felt checked out of my 20s. You know, every phase of life should be really cool and dope in its own way. Right. And if you can't say like, oh, my 20s are over. Oh,
I love getting older. I feel like I just like get smarter and like learn my lessons faster. I don't know. Like everything gets better.
So true. So wise. Yeah. Everything gets so much better. And I saw a funny Keanu Reeves quote the other day, which I literally am obsessed with. He was like, I'm at the point now where if someone tells me 2 + 2 = 5, I'm like, you're right. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
You're
right.
Okay. That's cool. Like why even like raise your brain?
Why even get upset?
How cool of a quote is that? My thorn. Yeah, look, it was a intense breakups. Yeah, intense. It wasn't even the breakup that was intense. There were just a couple moments in this relationship which were really like sad and just very sad moments. Very sad. No, it's okay. It's part of, you know, the journey. Bud for this year, man, a lot of buds. So A, on the mindfulness front, really just want to be, my whole like mindfulness goal this year is not letting my to-do list define me. That's not living. That takes out the spontaneity, you know, on the, so that's less phone use. That's more exercise. That's being present. So that's like my mantra for this year is like, don't let this to-do list define me. And then, yeah, professionally, I think, see our show explode on TikTok is really like, I think we're, I want this show to become the bachelor for the TikTok generation. That's really the goal. And it's the other bud for this year is like other cities, I think is super cool. Like finally taking the show on the road.
Yes.
So it's cool.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, any last words for our delusional daters, our wonderful listeners, those about to be brutalized?
No. Well, thanks for having me, Liz. This was wonderful. If you guys want to check out my show, go to @updatingshow on Instagram. If you want to buy tickets, Valentine's Day, we just had a second show because the first one sold out. So that's, go to go to updatingshow.com/tickets. If you want to be on the show, if you have friends who want to be on the show, always taking recommendations so they could go on the website and casting. If you want to follow me personally, that'd be sweet. @HTForman on Instagram. And yeah, as far as departing words, just smile, you know, just smile, just try and smile a lot and don't take yourself too seriously.
All right. Great questions. Thank you so much, Harrison. And guys, of course, Liz, tune
this was
in.
Wonderful.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. And guys, tune in next week, for episode 6.